So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Daniel Latto, and in this podcast, I want to talk to you about my client onboarding process. So what is an onboarding process, first of all? So an onboarding process is, you know, when you close somebody, you make a sale, okay? There is a process that you should have in place that sets expectations, allows you to agree what the circumstances of your relationship are going to be. Like, we don't do this in dating, but really we should do this in dating. Could you imagine that? Right then, Sandra, just sit down. Thanks for meeting with me in our second date. Now, I'd just like to run through our onboarding process before we conclude to date. I just think that'd be very funny. I've never done that. Maybe we should do that. How to stay single for the rest of your life. So, but with clients, it's really, really important because you need to understand the nature of the relationship. And let me give you an example of where I'm getting this wrong right now, because this is really important and it's very relevant as well. So we've just taken a handyman on, young guy, I'd say, but 30. So not that young, you know, but we're just having a few issues with him. And, you know, we have to do jobs twice. Jobs don't get finished. Supposed to like clear some weeding out. I mean, he left two bushes, and I'm like, why have you left two bushes? Oh, I thought they'd look nice. Why don't you ask me? Oh, I didn't think of that. So, like, that's a mistake for me, right, with my onboarding process for handymen. You should have an onboarding process for everyone other than dates, probably. The onboarding process for the handyman should be something like, okay, you get to the job on time. You introduce yourself to whoever happens to be there. You do the job. You go through each task and you get each task completed. When each task is completed, then you close it off. You finish the job. You drop all the stuff like a lawnmower or a strimmer. You drop that all back off at our, like, we have a central hub where we keep everything. It's actually my cleaner's house, and her garage effectively. So it all goes back there. It's signed in. It's signed out. But I've not explained any of this to him. And so the last couple of jobs, you know, he's just not getting jobs done, or he runs out of time, and then he's having to go back to the job, which takes more time, and then he has to more petrol, and I have to pay for all that, and it's just not working, right? And it's my fault. It's not his fault. I've not set his expectations. If his expectations are down here and mine's up here, how can I expect him to know what my expectations are until I've told him what the expectations are? It's ridiculous. So whose fault is that? It's not his. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. It's my job. So we're going to have a word with him and go, look, my fault. I need to up your standards to what I expect from you. And at that point, and we've had this before, at that point they will go, well, jog on then, which is fine. We will not pay you for services rendered anymore. Perfect. End of that relationship. Thank you for qualifying yourself out. Now, with clients who are coming on for our digital marketing agency or maybe for our business coaching, well, let's take the digital marketing agency. So the way it works in our business with the clients, and right now I do all the sales because I'm the front of it, but at some point in the next 6 to 12 months, we're going to have a sales team where I'm out of that and just creating more front-end content that generates leads, and then the salespeople follow up those leads. That's how it's going to work. But right now it's me, okay? Now, I'm a great bottleneck. So I keep myself out of the production of the content. I manage the managers who manage the people who create the content. And so the content gets created, it goes up to the manager and he checks whether it's right or whether it's not right and so on. And then every so often I'll just dig in and have a quick look around. And then I can train the manager up to better standards that I want. And overall, as we progress forward through time, our standards as an organization keeps going up. So when I close a client, which is usually on the phone, and I say, so do you want to go ahead with social media? And they go, yeah, why not? I go, great, let's get your payment sorted out. We sort that out. And then my job is to say to them, this is what's going to happen next. Because they're wondering, what's going to happen next? So why don't we tell them? So the next thing that we're going to get you to do is speak to the content coordinator. The content coordinator is going to go through a number of questions about your business, your branding colours, the types of messaging, any events or activities that you're doing that we should put out on social media, if you've got a book, Have you got a book launch? What events are you speaking at? Where are you making all-star appearances at? All that kind of thing. So we can start creating content around that. That's the first bit. The second bit is we've got to get Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. We've got to get all that stuff connected, which can be a technical process, and a lot of clients are not technically orientated, which is why they're using us in the first place. And so we talk them through that. But it's about setting expectations. So first of all, in that first call, we want to work out what your branding is going to be about. Then we want to work out how can we connect to your social media system so that we can post on your behalf. Then once that's sorted out, we then let them know, right, we're going to go off and create the content that we've just talked about. When we create that content, we're going to send it over to you to have a look. It might be right, it might not be right, because it's the first time we've done it with you, the client. Then you go through the content, you let us know what you love, what you don't like, what we can improve on, what needs, what doesn't need improving on. And then we'll go back and we'll redo that content. Then we'll send it back over, we see if you like it, and then we start scheduling it, and then we'll book you a call in another 2 weeks, one to review the last 2 weeks, and two to review your next 2 weeks. Perfect. They get a phone call every 2 weeks for about 30 minutes, sometimes 40, sometimes 20, just depending what's going on, where we can work out exactly what they need to do from a strategy point of view and a content creation point of view. Now, the client knows, brilliant, you're going to go off and see and create some stuff. So I just have to wait till that stuff comes in. And then I can go, yeah, I love that, but I don't like this. And you go off and do it again. And then we confirm it. And then you post it. Brilliant. And then as the relationship builds, because you're speaking with the content coordinator every 2 weeks for half an hour. Oh, well, I've got this idea about such and such. Have you got any ideas about this? Or I've got a PDF and I need it changing. Or I've got an opt-in form. Can you increase on that? Depending on which package you're on. We can do, depending on the package, obviously. So you've got to work out, the client doesn't have to work out what's going on. They already know intimately what's going on. So why is all of this relevant? Why is the handyman thing relevant? Why is our client's processes relevant? It's because what have you got in your business? Like, you know, if you're a butcher and you're selling some meat, you don't need an onboarding process, right? Because it's a transactional relationship. They are just buying a leg of lamb, right? It's transactional by nature. But our business isn't transactional. Like, there is a transaction that takes place, but our business is relationships. It's relational, right? Our relationship with the person is really important, because if we get that wrong, they're never going to stay with us. We get that right, they stay with us forever, right? We create great content for them. Their sales go up, their leads go up, their website hit goes up, everybody's happy. That's exactly the point. That's why we're doing this in the first place. But if we don't get this onboarding process right, and it's a living document, it's not something that's strictly fixed. It evolves as we evolve and as we get better ideas and learn better how to provide the client with exactly what they need, it evolves. As should your onboarding process. Now, if you're a coach and you've not got an onboarding process, your client is sat there going, so what happens next? Like, if you've got a 12-week coaching and you follow a plan, you know, one call a week for 12 weeks, this is the plan. Brilliant. Tell them that. So this is what we're going to do. This first call is a two-hour call. We want to establish what all the problems are. We're going to dig deep. We're just going to work out what's what and where we need to work the first. Okay, great. After we've worked out what that is, let's just say it's marketing that you need. Once we know it's marketing that you need, we're going to work out what particular aspect of marketing. Like, is it just getting people on your website? Is it getting people to convert into clients? Or is it retaining clients? Are they leaving too early? Like, because that's actually not a marketing problem. It's deep dive, right? After that 2 hours, we then do the 12 weeks, one call a week for the next 12 weeks, and we're going to put all these little bits in place for you. And at the end of that, your marketing will be fixed and it'll be firing on all cylinders and you know exactly what to do. Is that okay? Yes. Great. Great. So let's book our first 2 hour phone call in. That's it. That's the onboarding process. Now the client has a really good framework as to actually what's going on. And that's the word, framework. That's what an onboarding process does, is it describes the framework about what is about to happen for the client who's paid all this money. And the one thing that you want to avoid is buyer's remorse. And we would, when I was running property coaching, we get some buyer's remorse at first. And it's because I never used to explain what we were going to do. We just start and we just do it, right? Now we start to explain what's going to go on and when it's going to go on, when it's going to happen.
and clients stay with us because now they know where the end goal is, and if they want to continue after that end goal, then they can do as well. So look, you've got to get your onboarding process. You've got to get it written down, and you've got to make sure everybody actually knows what it is. Like I said at the start, I'm a massive bottleneck. I am not responsible for the onboarding process. It bores me to tears. I'm not very good at it. Why don't I pass it on to somebody who is? And that's exactly what we do in my business. We have a content coordinator who loves that stuff, who's really good at it, loves speaking to people and solving all those problems and loves it. And that's why we recruit them, right? So the other side here is that I normally right now close the sales, although that's going to change, as we said. But then once a sale is closed, we say, okay, that's brilliant, Bob. You've paid your money. I'm going to get you signed up. We're going to pass you in touch with the content coordinator. Now, I'm not actually involved from here on in, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to check in a month or two just to make sure that you're okay and everything's going fine. In the meantime, I'm also going to check in on the content that's being produced for you so that you actually know, sorry, so that I actually know that I'm happy with the level of your content. Is that okay? Yes. Brilliant. Having said all that, if you need to speak to me, you come and speak to me. Brilliant. Now the client knows that I'm accessible and available. That's exactly what they need. Prevents buyer's remorse. By the way, what normally happens then is they have the phone call with the content coordinator. 2 weeks later, they get awesome content. And they're like, this is so cool. And it saves so much time. And then they're with us for life, and then they recommend people. I'm like, I don't know if they're with us for life because I'm not dead yet. And neither is the business. But you know, clients are ongoing, so that's exactly what you want. And then we're able to continually improve because now we've got a really good relationship with the client because we get to speak to them every 2 weeks, making sure that the content is right, that we're on target, that we're on path. What can we do to improve sales further? What other events have you got coming up? The onboarding process is the start of a beautiful relationship. So maybe you should be introducing that into your dates. That is a joke. Do not do that. Otherwise, you will be single forever. Okay, so look, I hope that's useful for you. I just wanted to go through what our onboarding process was a little bit, just to give you an insight into how we actually do it here inside. And then hopefully it'll give you some ideas to chew on that you can then implement as well. All right, I hope that's useful. My name's Dan Latta. We'll speak to you on the next podcast. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.